Okay.
We are holding on Tesvov Amud Aleph, the second line. We started discussing as follows. The Mishnah told us that if a person makes a neder that he won't sleep or talk or walk, then all those harezah below yachol farei, then the din of lo yachol, the din that he's not allowed to desecrate his word, applies to all of those. Which we're going to see in the Gemara what exactly the lashon of the neder was, because as we're going to see in a minute, a neder has to be on something tangible, and sleeping or talking or whatever, and that's something tangible. So we'll see in a moment what we're talking about. But first, we started with machlokas amiroyim. Suppose a person says that that if I sleep tomorrow, then retroactively today there was an issur, there was a neder on me sleeping. So he uses the expression koinam eini b'shena, which is a valid neder because his eye is something tangible, something that exists right now, and therefore he's able to use a koinam, a neder, to assur it from sleeping. But he's saying like this. There's today and there's tomorrow. I want to make a neder that if it should end up that I sleep tomorrow, then retroactively, I shouldn't have slept today, and if I did, then it will have been also with a neder. So he's saying...
He's not allowing himself to sleep today and tomorrow.
So it's not that he's not allowing himself to sleep today or tomorrow and tomorrow. He's saying, if I don't sleep tomorrow, then there will be no problem with me sleeping today. But if I sleep tomorrow, then I don't want to have slept today. A person could say it in an easier way, but let's say, what would he mean? He means, in other words, let's put dates on it. Today is Tesvav Cheshvan. So if he says, today, he's saying like this, if I sleep tomorrow, Tesvayin Cheshvan, then retroactively I want that today that I should have been also to sleep. But if in the end I don't sleep on Tesvayin Cheshvan, then there will have been no problem with me sleeping on this day. So now the question is, in other words, so can he sleep on Tesvav? In other words, let's consider. What are the two possibilities? If he sleeps on Tesvav, then it would mean he would have to avoid sleeping on Tesvayin. Otherwise, retroactively, it turns out that he's been over on his net. On the other hand, if he sleeps on Tesvav and does not sleep on Tesvayin, then there's no problem. He wasn't over on his neder because his neder was predicated on the condition that he'll sleep on Tesvayin.
He hadn't slept yet for 2 nights.
We don't know however much he had slept before that. We don't know. But the point
from when he opened his mouth.
He opened his mouth today. Tesvav Chesh. Right. So now he's saying, if I sleep tomorrow, then retroactively I'm making a neder that today I should be also in sleep. So now again, if he sleeps on Tesvav, and he also sleeps on Tesvayin, then he was over on his neder. But if he sleeps on only Tesvav and not Tesvayin, or if he sleeps on only Tesvayin and not Tesvav, then there's no problem. So now the question is, can he sleep on Tesvav? So
the neder was that in the next 2 nights, one of those nights, I'm not going
to
sleep.
Essentially, that's what it kind of amounts to. But he's not just saying one of the next 2 nights. He's saying that you could phrase it that way, that he's saying, in effect, that I want to be able to sleep only one of these next 2 days, but not both. Right, but he phrased it in a way that there's the potential that now if he sleeps on the first day, it triggers the possibility of him ending up being over on his shura if he also sleeps the next day. Right. So now the question is he allowed to sleep the first day? So we said, Rabbi Yehuda said that no, because what if he sleeps tomorrow? Then it comes out he was over on his neder. Whereas Rabbi Nachman said that no, let him sleep today. We're not concerned about that he might sleep the next day. Once he knows I did sleep on the first day on Tesvav, now he'll be careful not to sleep on Tesvayin in order not to be over on his neder. Tosfos refers to a Gemara in Gittin that says that what he could always do is he could take steps on Tes Zayin on the second day to actually keep himself awake. He can put like he can put a sharp thing there behind him so that if he starts falling asleep, then it'll prick him and it'll wake him up. Anyway, we said the flip side of it. What if the Tanai was the other way around? What if he says that if I sleep today, then the Isser will be on tomorrow? So here it's the same kind of thing. He doesn't want to sleep both days, but here the trigger is going to be the sleeping. Here the trigger is going to be him sleeping today. In the first case, the trigger is him sleeping tomorrow. Once he sleeps tomorrow, then retroactively, there's an Isser on today. Now, in the other case, you have if he sleeps today, then in the future, there's an Isser on tomorrow. Then Rabbi Yehuda has no problem with that. Let him sleep today. He doesn't have to hate because that's going to be the actual. Then once he does the trigger, then he's going to be careful the next day on the actual neder. Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about the possibility that he may sleep on the day, in the previous case where it's today that's also and tomorrow that's the trigger for the condition. Then Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that he may sleep today and tomorrow he may forget that he actually did that, and he'll say, okay, so I'll trigger an Isser, big deal. It's only a trigger. It's not the actual Isser, and he may forget that he already slept today. But on the flip side, in the opposite case, where the Isser is on tomorrow, and the trigger is today, then Rabbi Yehuda says we can assume he's going to be careful with that. So now we're up to the second line of Tesvav Amin Aleph. Now we're going to relate that to our Mishnah and see if our Mishnah proves, we're going to try to use our Mishnah as a contradiction against Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah, Koinam Shani Yoshin. So what we're going to go through half the Amud is going to be spent trying to set up the scenario. We're going to quote the Mishnah. We're going to understand exactly what the scenario is of the Mishnah. Once we finish setting that up and understanding what the words of the Mishnah mean, then we're going to see that seems to be a contradiction on Rabbi Yehuda. So Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah, in our Mishnah, we said Koinam Shani Yoshin. If he says a Koinam that I will sleep, meaning that in other words, he's saying that a sleep should be also as a Koinam, as a neder, Shani Mahalach, or that I should walk, Shani Medaber, or that I should speak, Bechola. So the Gemara says, Heifi Dum. What exactly is the scenario that we would say that such a Tanai, what exactly is the Loshin that he used that would make it a valid neder? Ilei Mekitkatoni. Doesn't mean exactly what it sounds like, that he used the words Koinam Shani Yoshin. Well, the question is, me have a nidra. Would that even be a nidra? Vatnan, Vatanya really, it's a braisa. Choyme b'shvuas, there is a chumra in shvuas. Oh, we learned this earlier, actually, in the previous Friday. There was a chumra of shvuas over nidorim. Shashvuas cholos al dover, sheyeshla by mamash, val dover she'en by mamash. A shvua can apply to something that has a tangible substance and that does not. Mashenkin minidorim, as opposed to nidorim. So we've mentioned a bunch of times so far in the Masechta that nidorim are basically an isur that is on the cheftza, on the object, and shvuas is an isur on the gavra, on the person. So a person can validly make a shvua, for example, I won't sleep, and that is a valid shvua. We'll see soon how long such a shvua can be in effect. But let's say a person says a shvua that I won't sleep today, that works. Sleep is an intangible thing, doesn't matter. He's not asking to sleep. He's asking himself to sleep, and himself exists. As opposed to a neder, you can't do that. If you say a neder, a koinam, which is a lashon of neder, whatever, that I won't sleep, a koinam on sleep, it doesn't work. Sleep is not a tangible object. So you can't say koinam shani yoshin, a koinam that I will a koinam on my sleeping. That's what shani yoshin means, a koinam on my sleeping. But his sleeping is not a tangible thing. So sleep is something intangible. A neder can't be chal on it.
So I think it's intangible.
What?
Sleep is perfectly tangible and perfectly provable. I don't think that sleep is 100% tangible.
No.
You can definitely say that a person is sleeping or not.
Sleep is a concept. Sleep is a concept. It's not something that you can reach out. You can't reach out and touch sleep. You can touch a sleeping person.
It's a behavior.
It's a concept. It's not something that you can reach out and touch. Yeah.
No, it's a state of mind. It's not a behavior. It's a state of mind.
Okay, call it whatever you want. The point is, it's not something that you can actually touch. So therefore,
you cannot touch it. It doesn't exist, and it's not.
Nobody
tangible.
Said it. Of course, you can't touch Hashem either. Chas v'shalom. We don't say that, right?
The point exactly.
is though that the point is though that a neder has to be on something sheyesh boy mamash, where there is substance to it. There is a tangible substance that you can feel and you can touch and you can point to and say this object should be also to me. Sleep is not that kind of object.
Sleep is very tangible. If it has
okay,
no
let's talk about this later. It's not it's tangible in the sense of force that a person has to sleep, but it's not that's not what we mean by tangible over here. Dabar sheyesh bo mamash means something has a substance to it. You know, think of
tangible.
Think of it like this, Avraham Moshe. Is darkness something tangible? Normally not. But then we had in Mitzrayim, you had Machas Choshech over there, where the darkness was actually tangible, the Yomish Choshech. So that kind of darkness is a different kind. Than every other time. That time is tangible. A neder presumably comes lighter.
One second. Tangibility can be when you can start it and finish it.
No, like, that's not what tangibility means. That's not what tangibility means. But let's talk about that later because we're getting too far off topic over here. A shvua relates to an action. So therefore, a shvua can perfectly well work on sleep. You can say sleep. You can say a shvua that I won't sleep, and that is a valid shvua. But you can't say sleep. You can't You can't say sleep is also to me, and that should be a neder because a neder has to be on something that you can actually touch and feel, and sleep is not that. So you want to talk about it? Let's talk about it later. But let's continue. So ela d'omak koinam eini b'shena. So now, obviously, we have to understand then that the Mishnah does not mean that he actually uses the words koinam shani yoshim, but rather that he says koinam eini b'shena, a koinam that my eye will be prohibited from sleeping. Well, his eye is something tangible. Therefore, such a neder can work. Now, the next question becomes then, which means, by the way, the Ran adds the point. If we were to say that we could take the Mishnah literally, that he could say Koinam Shani Yoshin and it would work, then we could say the Mishnah is not talking about a Tanai at all. The Mishnah is just saying he's plain making a neder that sleep is also to him. And you would say that the neder is chal. But given that we find the neder is not chal, then we're on to the next stage. So we're obviously not talking about, he obviously gave the neder, he obviously made the neder in such a way using the word eini, and then we have to figure out the next stage is how long did he make it also for himself for? So the idla yohib shiura. So the next question is, if when he made this neder, he did not put a time limit on it, he just said koinam eini b'shena, and it's open ended. Well, mishav kinen le ad over iser bar yachol. How would we leave him? How would we leave him until he's over on bar yachol? Now there are two ways of explaining this among rishonim. The Ran holds that we don't mean, now it's like this, we know there's an Isser, we know there's an Isser to make a Shavuos Shav. The Torah tells us, Lois Sisa Hashem Hashem Alekecha Lashav. So if a person makes a Shavuos Shav, then we give him Malchus for it. The Ran says, a Neder is not like that. A Neder, the Ran says, there's no actual Isser to make a Neder Shav. So now Mishav Kinen Lay literally means, do we let him go until he's over on Isser Bal Yachol? So the Ran explains, doesn't mean do we let him make such a neder in the first place. There's no problem making such a neder in the first place, but practically speaking, eventually he is going to need to sleep, and he's not going to be able to keep that neder indefinitely, because within a couple of days, he's going to have to sleep necessarily. So in other words, the Ran explains, the question really is, how can the neder be chal at all? For a neder to be chal, it has to be something that is possible to do, and to say an open-ended thing, my eye is not allowed to sleep, which constitutes a valid, which on the face of it, constitutes a valid neder because the eye is tangible. But on the other hand, given that you can't go without sleep forever, it's not a neder you're going to be able to fulfill indefinitely, so how can such a thing be considered a neder? That's the point of the Ran. There's a toast. It's against nature, right? In fact, it's interesting that Rebbe points out in the letter to somebody in connection with some sefer that the guy had written, where the Rebbe wrote notes on it. I don't remember what the connection was exactly, but anyway, there's a difference between, for example, a neder that a person says I won't eat whatever, my mouth should be also from eating, let's say, versus a neder not to sleep, because the difference is, or shavua, let's say, because the difference is, let's say a person makes a shavua, let's talk, for example, about a shavua, to keep things simpler. Because a shavua, a person can just say, I won't eat, or I won't sleep, and such a thing is a valid neder. As we said, a shavua doesn't have to be on something tangible. But if a person were to say a shavua, I won't eat, yeah, eventually, if he doesn't eat, he's going to die of hunger. But it is possible for him to physically not eat. He'll just eventually die from it. As opposed to with sleep, it's physically impossible for a person to go more than a few days without sleep. Inevitably, he will fall asleep even if he can't help it. So according to the Ram, the Gemara's question is, that such a thing, so he says the expression, Mishav Kinemlay, do we allow him to go until he's over on Bayachal? Primarily, the Gemara is talking about that in terms of the Shavua, because as we're going to say in a second, if a person makes an open-ended Shavua not to sleep, then we're going to give him Malchus for it. So therefore, even though with a neder, there's no Isser, according to the Ram, to make such a neder, nevertheless, the question is, how can such a neder be Chal in the first place? Now, there is a Tosfos elsewhere, which Gilui Nashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, refers to over here, from Gittin, where Tosfos learns over there that, in fact, there is an Isser to make a Neder Shav. They say the same way as there's an Isser to make a Shavua Shav, the same way there's an Isser to make a Neder Shav. And according to them, the Gemara's words over here, Mishav Kinnam, like Adda Over Isser Bal Yachal, means pretty much exactly what it sounds like. How can we leave him be and tell him he won't get Malchus until inevitably he's over on Isser Bal Yachal by falling asleep? Such a neder is, to begin with, we should realize, the neder shav, it's open-ended, and we should be giving him malchus for that. Just for making the neder. So because of Amar Rav Yechanan, didn't Rav Yechanan say, shvua shal ishan shloisha yamim, if a person says a shvua that I won't sleep for 3 days, malchinos say, they give him malchus right away. They don't say, let's wait and see whether he can fulfill it, because we know it's physically impossible to fulfill it. The yoshim alter, and then if he wants, he can sleep right away. Meaning, because here we're talking a shavua, no question, a person gets malchus for shavua shav, and he can sleep right away, because in other words, the shavua was never chal in the first place, because it's impossible to do. You have the interesting thing that it brings in the Gemara Sukkah, where it says over there that Rabbi Yeshua says that in the times of the Beis Mikdash, during Sukkahs, they never got any sleep, because they're busy with the Avodah and the Beis Mikdash during the day, and learning Torah, and davening, and Simchas Beis Hashem by night. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? You say over here, you can't go 3 days without sleep. And the answer is they would sort of cat nap on each other's shoulders. They didn't actually have proper sleep. They never talked about them a number of times in Sichas of Simchas Beis Hashem over the years, and made the point. So we're saying, in other words, they didn't have the ta'am shena, they didn't have the taste of sleep. So in other words, a person can train themselves that, yes, they have to sleep, because as the Gemara is saying over here, it's physically necessary, but they don't need to have the taste of sleep as in something they enjoy. It's like something you have to do, because you have to do. The body requires it. What about Rabbi Mala?
Mala was shown also. Like the Rebbe wouldn't sleep during Sukkot time, like a regular sleep, same thing in
Mala. So I think that's an interesting point, actually. I think there's an interesting point in that, because after all, we know it's not all minute to sleep in the Sukkah. On the other hand, the fact is, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to. So we don't do it because of Kabbalistic reasons, but it's very possible this stuff that you're saying, that the Rebbe didn't properly sleep during Sukkot, and neither did Rebbe Marlo, could be based on that, because on the one hand, they didn't want to actually be over on what it says in Shulchan Aruch. On the other hand, the fact is, the minhag of Lubavitch is not to sleep in the Sukkah, so that was kind of their compromise. Interesting. Anyway, the point is, again, according to the Ran, the comparison is that given that we see that a person can't go with 3 days without sleep, then in the case of Shavua, that constitutes a Shavua Shav and he gets Malchus. In the case of a Neder, granted he's not getting Malchus, but it's still impossible, so it shouldn't be Chal in the first place. And according to Tosfos, the vote is that it is in fact Osir to make a Neder Shav, and you would get Malchus for it, and therefore the question is the same thing. Either way, the point is it's impossible to do. So again, we started by saying that our Mishnah says Koinam Shani Yoshin. We said it can't mean that because that's not a valid Neder, because sleep is not something that a Neder can be Chal on. Then we said, we're saying that it says Koinam Eini B'Shena. Now obviously, so again, it can't be open-ended because then that would be impossible. And therefore, such a neder wouldn't be chal. And according to Tosfos over there in Gittin, he would even be getting malchus for it. Now, Mephoshim add over here. Now, the Gemara could easily answer, of course, that the case of the Mishnah, as he said, that the koinam, my eye shouldn't sleep today. But in that case, there's no chiddush in it. Of course, the Mishnah wouldn't have to tell us that Bal Yachal applies to that. There's no chiddush in it. So obviously, the Mishnah is trying to teach us some kind of chiddush. So Ela de Omar, so we have to say that the Mishnah is giving us an example where he says, Koinam eini b'sheni l'macher im ishen hayoin. Now, could it mean the second case that we talked about, where the second case, where we said Rabbi Yehuda would, at the beginning of the Sugya, where we said that Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, would agree that in this case he is allowed to sleep today, namely where he says that if I sleep today, then I'm also to sleep tomorrow. The question is, Ha'amet kol be'isurin izahar. You said there's no problem. Even Rabbi Yehuda has no problem with that, because you say that when it comes to the Isser, he'll be careful. Given that today sleeping is mutter to him either way, it's only the trigger for the neder that will be chal tomorrow if he sleeps today. Having slept today, he will then be careful about the Isser tomorrow. So there's no problem with such a neder, and therefore again, there's no chiddush in it. Ela pshita. So obviously, by elimination, the Mishnah has to be talking about a case. The Mishnah is talking about the case the other way around. Where the case where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman are arguing about, where he said that my eyes should be also to sleep today if I sleep tomorrow. So now the question is, the Mishnah would be telling us on the face of it, what does it mean? Hareza v'lo yachol dvaro would mean he has to be careful to not sleep on the first day in order that he doesn't end up being oiran bal yachol. Because if he sleeps today and then tomorrow he ends up sleeping as well, then he will have been oiran his neder. So then in that case, if that's what the Mishnah is telling us, so we're saying the ilo nayim hayoim, So now, if he doesn't sleep today, so then kinayim l'mocha mai ba yachol dvareka. Then if he sleeps tomorrow, there's no problem. He's not one who wasn't over on anything. Ela lav v'nimnayim. So obviously the Mishnah has to be telling us that the case is that he did in fact sleep on the first day. And then we're saying that he was allowed to sleep. So on the face of it, we're saying that he was allowed to sleep on the first day. He is, in other words, the Mishnah would be telling us when it says Hareza b'lo yachol dvaro, would tell us he is allowed to sleep today. Don't be concerned that conceivably he could become to bal yachol, because we're not going to. We're going to say let him sleep today, and tomorrow he will have to be careful, as Rav Nachman said, that he'll have to put up over there a sharp object to prick him or something and keep him from falling asleep all the next day in order to not be over on his neder, in order to not be transgressing bal yachol. But in other words, the implication of the Mishnah sounds like if he wants to sleep on the first day, let him go ahead. We don't say don't sleep on the first day in order that you won't come to bal yachol. We're not gonna say that. And the Ran adds, if the Mishnah was in fact trying to tell us a case where it's mutter for him to do. The case, for example, if you're going to say the Mishnah is, so you could say, the Ran says, the Mishnah might be implying, let him go ahead and sleep on the first day and put himself in a suffix bal yachol. In other words, in the case where we said the other way around, where he says, if I sleep today, then I should be also to sleep tomorrow. Why don't we say, and we said, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that that's fine. Why don't we say the Mishnah is telling us that? And the reason is because then the Mishnah should, first, the Mishnah should be telling us that about the first case. After all, what do we have? We have two cases over here that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman are addressing. One of them, Rabbi Yehuda says the din should be one way, and the other way. So it's obviously not so poshut, especially since Rabbi Nachman disagrees on the first one. So therefore, if you were going to say that the Mishnah is only talking about the second case, why would it ignore the first case altogether? It should tell us a din about it, because it's not so poshut. The very fact that the Mishnah seems to be ignoring it can't be then that it's ignoring the first case and focusing on the second case. It has to be the Mishnah is focusing on the first case and telling us what the din is. He is in fact allowed to sleep on that first day, and we're not concerned that that means that now if he also sleeps tomorrow, he's going to be over on bal yachol. Rather, we say, go ahead and sleep today. Just tomorrow, be careful to not be over on bal yachol. Don't sleep tomorrow as well. Well, then, in that case, so if the Mishnah is telling us that, now that we understand what the Mishnah is talking about, so we see he is allowed to sleep on that first day. Literally means that he is. The Issei Denayim, he is sleeping. And then this is the contradiction on Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, we said at the beginning of the Sugya, he's not allowed to sleep today. because we said if he sleeps today and he also ends up sleeping tomorrow, he will have been over on his neder, because his neder was that if I sleep tomorrow, then retroactively today should be also to sleep. So the Gemara answer is no. Kikotani de'inayim. No, the Mishnah is not necessarily saying the Mishnah is not saying that he's allowed to sleep. The Mishnah is saying if he slept, then he has a potential problem of bal yachid. So the Ran says, so on the contrary, when we say that when the Mishnah says hareza b'bal yachid, it means adrab, it means more like Rabbi Yehuda. Let him be careful not to sleep on that first day, because if he does, then he's closer to being over on bal yachid, because as Rabbi Yehuda says, the one that's only the tnai, he's not going to be so careful of, it's not going to occur to him on the next day, you know what, I slept yesterday, therefore if I'm over on my tnai today, retroactively I'm being over on bal yachid, he's going to think to himself, this is only a tnai, and a tnai is no big deal. It doesn't matter whether I trigger the neder or not, and he's going to forget that yesterday he already slept. So therefore, so adrabah, the wording of the Mishnah seems to go more according to Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, it's still not contradicting Rabbi Nachman, because Rabbi Nachman doesn't have to understand that the Mishnah is saying he's not allowed to sleep. But nevertheless, the point is it doesn't contradict Rabbi Yehuda, because it could be saying hareza b'lo yachol yorei, meaning he has to be careful on that first day not to put himself in a situation where potentially he might be oran b'al yachol yorei. Okay, that's one answer. The Gemara says, Ravina Omar, La'olam Kidkatani. Ravina says, you know what, you don't have to say that, like this. The whole thing that brought us to this point was we said the Mishnah cannot possibly mean that Konam Shani Yoshin, because we said, again, sleep is not something that a neder is chal on. It had to be that he said, Konam, my eye won't sleep. Ravina says that no, we could actually be talking about where he used the words of the Mishnah, Konam Shani Yoshin, Umay Bal Yachol Midrabanan. So what do we mean? When we say bal yachol, means midrabanan. Even though midaraisa, it's not a valid neder, because again, midaraisa, a neder has to be on something tangible, and sleep is not. But nevertheless, midrabanan, given that he thought he was making a neder, and therefore, we talked about, there are mafoshim, I think Rabbeinu Avraham in Ahor wants to say, like we learned in the Gemara yesterday, that maybe we're talking specifically about an Amoritz over here. Maybe a Tamid Chacham, we can expect, we'll know that distinction, and therefore we're not going to impose it on him, but maybe an Amoritz we would. But anyway, the other mafoshim don't mention that distinction, but here you have, after all, saying Konam Shani Yoshin is not all that different than saying Konam Eini Vashena. That difference, the very subtle difference that is likely to escape a lot of people, and therefore midrabanan, we're going to call it a valid neder. So the Mishnah is telling us midrabanan, he shouldn't be over on it. What?
According to logic, you would say that it's midaraisa, it's a shvua, and midrabanan, it's a neder. Is that what
no? We would
saying?
Say midaraisa, it's not a shvua, because he didn't express it as a shvua. If he said, because he used the word konam constitutes a neder. If he said shvua shani yoshin, or one of the other kinuyim of shvua that we learned in the first paragraph, then yes, but konam is a kinuy for a neder, not a shvua.
But so it's possible neder.
We said in the previous paragraph, koinam is a kinui for a neder. Either we said it comes from a Goyish language where it means korban, so it means that he's being matzvus for korban, or it's a word that the Chachamim made up that means korban. Whatever it is, saying koinam is a lashon of a neder, not a b'shvua.
Right, but on the other hand, he also said that a shvua is on himself, and here he's doing a shvua on himself.
Yeah, but he's not. Since he used the word konam, then it doesn't constitute a shvua. Just so to make a shvua, he would have had to say, for example, a shvua that I won't do such and such. Here, when he says konam shani yoshin, so we're saying, so it's kind of a hybrid. The thing that it's talking about is something that a shvua could apply to, not a neder, but the word that he used, konam, is a word of a neder, not a shvua. So you have something which is kind of neither here nor there, but midrabanan, we're going to treat it as a full neder and require him to not be oivra on it. So the Gemara asks.
So the halacha.
So wait.
One second. Which you don't say konam, it's never a shvur.
If you don't say konam, fuck out, it can be a shvur. If you say konam, then it's a neder.
It's a nickname.
And konam is a nickname
if
for
you
a
don't say. If you don't say konam, can it be
if
a
you don't
shvur?
Say konam, if you say. But the thing is, you also keep in mind, in the Mishnah, you also said shani yoshin. Now think of it, if a person just says Shani Yoshin, that would by itself, that would constitute a shvua that he will sleep. Shani Yoshin means that I will sleep. Konam Shani Yoshin means on the contrary, a Konam, that my sleep is also to me like a Konam, like a Korban. So that's not a valid Shavua either. If you were to say She'eni Yoshin, that's the Ran points that out on the previous Amud. If you were to say She'eni Yoshin, that would constitute a valid Shavua. Sure, because then he's saying that I won't sleep. But if he says koinam she'eni yoshin, it wouldn't make sense either. Because what do you mean a koinam that the sleeping that I won't do is also to me? Then in that case, that means the sleep that I will do is not also to me. So it has to be. So if it's a shvuah, he has to say she'eni yoshin, that I won't sleep. If he says shani yoshin, then it's nothing. And even if he says koinam she'eni yoshin, then also midaraisa, it's nothing. But again, Ravina is saying midarabon, and we are considering a shvuah. All right, let's go on. So the Gemara asks, is there such a thing as Baal Yachal Midrabbanan? Baal Yachal is a mitzvah of the Torah, not to transgress your neder. How can we say that such a thing applies to Midrabbanan, where it's not a valid neder, Darais? And the Gemara answers, ain't. As a matter of fact, yes. And here is a Braisa that proves that point. A Braisa says, Dvorim Amutorim, when you have things that are intrinsically mutter, al pi alocha, but you have other people are noyag and isur in those things. So we consider that a form of neder. You are not allowed to be matu such things in their presence. Because the pasuk says lo yachol dvarei. In other words, the point is. On the side over here, in my Gemara, there's a note here from the Rashash that says that the word dvarei can also mean the way he acts. So therefore, the standard Gemaras don't have it. I thought it was something that was added in the Gerari Gemaras or whatever. No, over here you have a little thing pointed in my Gemara. It's pointed a few lines above Pirush Rosh. Anyway, the vote is the word lo yachol dvarei. We're saying the word dvarei can mean the way he behaves. So in other words, so you have something. Now the post can talk about there are various rules within that. It depends, first of all, whether these people, to a certain extent, it depends whether these people are Ame or Oret. It depends whether the thing that they're answering, is it that they actually have a reason, Api Alocha, to believe that it's Osir, or just that they're mistaken and they thought it's Osir, and really it's not. There's various dinim in that regard. But, for example, the Gemara talks about it in Psachim. If you have, let's say, for example, in a place where, now you have, let's say, for example, the Gemara, the Mishnah discusses in Psachim, on Erev Pesach, in the afternoon, you're not allowed to do malacha for a few reasons. One of them being that's when the korban pesach is brought. But in the morning, there were different minhagim. So suppose you come from a place where the minhag is to work on erev pesach morning, and you come to a place where the minhag is not to, then you're not allowed to do malacha in their presence. It's mutter al pi alacha. It's only the local minhag, but you have to respect the local minhag. So you're not allowed to publicly show in their presence that it's mutter. So therefore, as you see, even though that whole concept is only dirabanan, nevertheless, we still say lo yachol dvarei applies there. So yes, you see that lo yachol dvarei can apply to things dirabanan. In this connection, by the way, the post can bring up the point that we say in Atoras Nedarim, Erev Rosh Hashanah, that when you have an hager tovash and actually shloisha pamim, the lo yisnesi shehev li neder, that it constitutes a neder. So you have, it actually depends. There can be a person does an hager tovah even one time, and he specifically had in mind at the time that he plans to do it, on an ongoing basis. Then, even before three times, it already constitutes a neder. But then you have certain kinds of anhogas, whereas as the nusach is over there, you need to do them three times, and then only then does it become a binding neder. But either way, it talks about in Shulchan Aruch, such things are considered binding nedarim, and you would need atzaras nedarim for them. So if you have, let's say, for example, a person has the minhag, let's say, of what they won't eat on Pesach, or what they won't eat during the year, or that they will or won't do such things during the year, even though it started out only as a local minhag, nevertheless, it becomes binding on the person or on the kehillah, and if they want to be matur it, they need atzaras nedarim. Anyway, the point is that, yes. So therefore, Ravina's answer can work, that yes, we can say that even though the Mishnah says lo yachol dvarei, it means only dirabon. Okay, so the Gemara says, let's try to bring another proof against Rabbi Hoda. Tnan, we learn in a Mishnah later on in our Masechta, another one of these cases of a neder that involves a tnan. Suppose a husband says to his wife, sha'at nenes liyada pesach, and he says koinam, we're leaving out the word koinam for simplicity's sake, but he makes a koinam, a neder, that you will not allow to have anah from anything of mine until Pesach, im teuchi leves avich ad achad. If you go any time between now and Sukkot, you go to your father's house. So he's standing, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, 2 weeks before Pesach, And he's saying, if any time between now and the, and if any time between now and Sukkot, you go to your father's house, then that is going to trigger a neder that you will be also to have hanah from me between now and Pesach. So, hocha lifnei Pesach. So now, if she goes to her father's house before Pesach, asur b'ana asada Pesach. Then indeed, the neder has been triggered because before Pesach is between now and Sukkot, so therefore she's also to have hanah from him until Pesach. So now the implication, the Gemara says, is hocha lifnei Pesach asura. So what are we saying? Only because she went before Pesach is there a problem? Loi hocha loi, implying that if she did not go before Pesach, even though maybe she does go later on, then there's no problem of her having hana from her husband between now and Pesach. Now, this is a case similar to Rav Yehuda's case. This is a case similar to the case of Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman with the sleep. Because what are we saying? If she were to go to her father's house in Iyar or Sivan or whatever, any time until Sukkot, retroactively it means that she shouldn't have had hana from him from Rosh Chodesh Nissan until Pesach, and yet the Mishnah seems to be implying that that's fine. So how would Rav Yehuda understand that? So the answer is, Amar Rav Abba says, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. It means, Hocha Lifnei Pesach Asura V'loika. It means that if she actually went before Pesach, not only is she also to have that hana, but there is going to be Malchus involved. Because now you have, at that point, she went before Pesach, and now the neder was triggered. So now when she has hana between then and Pesach, then a neder is clearly being violated. So the question is, who gets the Malchus? The Ran says that it means that she would get the Malchus, because after all, she's the one who had hana. On the other hand, the Rambam understands that he's the one who gets Malchus if he allows her to have that hana. She wouldn't get Malchus, the Rambam says, because she didn't make the neder in the first place. So you can't say lo yachol dvara. So the Ran writes over here, he says he disagrees with that, and brings rayas from other Gemaras that it's not so, but that's how it is. You have machlokes between the Ran and the Rambam on that point. So that would be the case if she went before Pesach, because, in other words, by the time once she goes, the neder is triggered. So therefore, as soon as now, if she goes to her father's house, on Beis Nissen, and then on Gimel Nissen, she has hana from her husband, then a neder has clearly been violated because the neder has already been triggered. But the Mishnah is not implying that if she didn't go till after Pesach, then retroactively she would have been mutter to have hana. Loi hocha asura ba'alma. If she didn't go before Pesach, she still is also to have that hana until Pesach, because the neder might be triggered. But you can't say that she should be chayav malchus for it, because at the time it wasn't yet also, the trigger hadn't happened yet. He's the one who made the neder. That is why, according to the Rambam, if now he violates that by allowing her to have hana from his possession, then he will be the one getting malchus. According to the Ran, we're saying that she would be the one getting malchus because she's after all the one who received that hana. So that's the thing. The Ran says, the Rambam would hold, she can't possibly be getting malchus. Why should she? She didn't say anything.
But when you say she got the hana, we're talking about hana that she went to her father's.
No, the hana that she received something from her husband. She received from him money or food or presents or what have you. The neder was that if she goes any time between now and Sukkot, she will be also from now until Pesach from having hana from her husband. That's what I'm saying. He made the neder, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So he's saying, if any time during the next 6.5 months you go to your father's house, then the result is, the neder is going to be that the hana is of mine is also to you between now and Pesach for the next 2 weeks.
The hana that
she may get from him. Any food he might give her, any clothing he might give her, any whatever, yeah. We need to get going, so let's go on.
But yeah, but I mean, other people are asking questions, so I can ask questions too.
I know, but we also can't give too much time to questions, you know. You're asking about how
Tashmish. Tashmish mean the same thing.
No, Tashmish is a type of Hanoah. We're going to talk about that on Omid Beis, but as long as we can get there. But you know what, if there's something you don't understand right now, then fine, let's deal with it. But otherwise, if it's a side thing, then let's leave it for later, please.
Nobody should ask questions then.
That's not what I'm saying, Avraham Moshe, and you know that. Come on. If you have it, fine. If there's something you don't understand, if something that you need for the flow of the Gemara.
No, it's not about understanding. I'm just having a question. We said previously that someone cannot make an eder for another person, and it seems to be
Nobody said you can't make a neder for another person. I can answer my hanah to you. I can't say, for example, a neder that you shouldn't be allowed to that you, Shimon, should not be allowed to have hanah from Levi. Of course, such a neder is ineffective. But I can perfectly well say that you, Shimon, should not have hanah from my Reuven Nachasim. Sure, that's a perfectly valid neder.
If that's the case, why is another person getting malchus?
Again, according to the Ran, she received that Hanah. She shouldn't have received that Hanah, knowing that there's a neder involved, therefore now she's getting malchus. According to the Rambam, the fact that he gave her, that he allowed her to have that Hanah, and he's the one who made the neder, he's going to be the one who gets malchus. Anyway, the point is, what the Gemara is establishing is that in the case where she did not go before Pesach, which is what we're trying to deal with over here, then in fact, the fact is, she is retroactively also to have had Hanah during that time. She should be not be having Hanah those 2 weeks, in case she might go between now and Sukkot, but nevertheless, there won't be any Malchus involved because the Neder has not been triggered yet. So that's not a contradiction against Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Ema Seifa. Well, if that's how you understand it, look at the next part of the Mishnah. It continues, Achara Pesach Beval Yachol Zvarei. The Mishnah continues, that after Pesach, there is Bal Yachol Dvarei involved. So, the Idolo Ishani L'Sam Pesach. So now, if she never had any Hanah before Pesach, Mi'ika Bal Yachol, how could there be any Bal Yachol? At that point, the 2 weeks have passed. She didn't have any Hanah from her husband during that time. So now, no matter what happens, whether she goes to her father's house between now and Sukkot or not, there's no Bal Yachol to be over on anymore because the period covered by the Neder is over. Elop Shita De Ishani. So obviously, you have to be talking about where she did have Hanah. And was saying that there's Bal Yachol involved. Alma Mishani. So doesn't that mean that she's allowed to have Hanah during that time? Utyukta did Rabbi Yehuda. And then it would be a contradiction on Rabbi Yehuda. Because again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would say she should not be allowed to have Hanah during that time in case the Neder is triggered later on. Exactly the same way as Rabbi Yehuda said before, that a person is not allowed to sleep today because he might trigger his Neder tomorrow and he might be careless with the trigger. In exactly the same way, Rabbi Yehuda should say, the Mishnah should be telling us that she's not allowed to have Hanah between Rosh Chodesh Nissan and Pesach in case the Neder is triggered later by her going to her father's house anytime between the end of Pesach and Sukkot, and nevertheless, the Mishnah seems to be implying that she is able to have Hanah during that time. Otherwise, there's no Bal Yachol to talk about. So the Gemara answer is similar to what we said before about if he fell asleep. Tikotani de'i ishani harezer Bal Yachol bari. All the Mishnah means is that if she had Hanah during that time, that she would end up being over on Bal Yachol. So it would mean the same thing as we said before, that she needs to be careful during those 2 weeks not to have Hanah from her husband in order that there doesn't end up being retroactively a matter of Bal Yachol. She won't get Malchus for it, granted, or he won't get Malchus, as the case may be, because at the time that they were over on it, the Neder hadn't been triggered yet. When she had Hanah between now and Pesach, the Neder hadn't been triggered yet. Nevertheless, though, there still is the Isser, and then, which is what Rabbi Yehuda was saying at the beginning of the Sogia, there was an Isser, even if there's not Malchus involved, and therefore she shouldn't. But if she did, then she has to be very careful that if she has to be very careful now after Pesach, or from now until after Sukkot, to not go to her father's house in order that it doesn't come out that retroactively she was over on a Neder. He said the Neder in her presence, right? Yeah. It doesn't even have to be, by the way, again, when it comes to a neder like that, to say that I'm asking you in my possession, it doesn't require the other person's agreement. If I say you are also in my nechosim, if I say a koinam, that my nechosim are also to you, it doesn't matter whether you agree or not. The neder is still chal, because they're my possessions.
But you have to be within sound.
Well, if they don't know of it, they don't know of it, obviously. So yeah, we have to be talking about that she knew of it. Yeah. Okay. Now let's look at another part of that Mishnah and see the other way around. The Mishnah then presents the other way around. Here we have the other way around. He says to his wife, the neder is, the period of Isser is from now until Sukkot. If you go to your father's house between now and Pesach. So now it's the opposite of the previous case. He's saying, the time when I don't want you to go to your father's house is between now and Pesach.
Now, meaning,
let's say again, Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So if you go to your father's house anytime in the next 2 weeks, the result is that you are going to be also in Hanah from me from now until Sukkot. So now it's the other way around. Before the Neder was only on the 2 weeks from now until Pesach, and the condition stretched out over six and a half months. Now it's the other way around. The condition is 2 weeks, and the neder and the time of the issur stretches out over several months. So the Mishnah says, Holcha lifnei Pesach. So if indeed she goes before Pesach, asur b'hanah sa'ad achad, then she is allowed. Then she is asur and hanah until Sukkos, because that then the neder was triggered. Umotenas leilach after Pesach. But the Mishnah says then she's allowed to go to her father's house after Pesach. After Pesach, in other words, the Ran says the chiddush of that is we don't say that we don't say that at that point she may forget that she was over on her tonight. And that she was over on her tnai before Pesach. And now if we allow her to go after, then she is, then she may have, she may end up having hanah from her husband when she's supposed to. So maybe we should ask her to go midirabbanan. So no, we don't say that. So mutaras levachachar Pesach. Now, holcha asura. So the implication again seems to be only if she went before Pesach is she also to have the hanah until Sukkos. Loi holcha loi. But if she didn't, then no. So if she didn't go, so we don't say again that if she doesn't go before Pesach, then she shouldn't have had hanah from Rosh Chodesh until Pesach because she might go. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we should say that still during those 2 weeks, she shouldn't be having hanah from her husband regardless, because conceivably she might end up going during those 2 weeks and triggering it. So Amar Rava, so Rava answers, who adin da'afilu lo holcha asura? The fact is, similar to what we said before, even if she didn't go during those 2 weeks, she still is going to be asur in the hanah. The difference is holcha asura v'loika. If she went during those 2 weeks, then not only asur, but there's malchus involved. Again, malchus for her or for him, depending whether we go according to the Ran or the Rambam. Loi holcha asura v'alma. But if she didn't go before Pesach, then there's an issur involved, but there's no malchus. But there's no malchus involved. Because again, if she didn't go yet, there's still the concern she might go before Pesach and trigger it. But as long as she hasn't yet gone, then she shouldn't be having hanah from her husband during that time. So in other words, the neder was made Rosh Chodesh. So now let's say on Rosh Chodesh and on Beis and on Gimel, she should not be having that hanah in case on Dal or on Hay or on Bov, she might end up going. But if she actually went on Beis, then she's also the now on Gimel, of course, still even triggered, and then there's Malchus involved if she did. But if she didn't yet go, she still shouldn't be having Hanah from on Rosh Chodesh and on Beis and on Gimel in case she might go on Dalit, but we can't yet say that there's Malchus involved because it hasn't been triggered yet. So therefore, again, that Mishnah is no contradiction to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said in Or Sugya, by the same token, you shouldn't sleep today in case the neder is triggered tomorrow. Well, that's exactly our scenario. Okay, the Gemara says Mace. You have another contradiction against Rabbi Yehuda. A Braisa says, Kikozu alai hayoim in elech lamakim ploini lamakar. If the person says, this bread should be also to me, olai, it should be upon me, and of course he used, that would be an example of a yad. When he says, kikozu olai, it means that it is like, it is on me, like a korban. We fill in the word olai korban, or something to that effect.
Makes it more stronger.
That you don't need hatfasa, but it is a valid way of making a neder, or maybe even the primary way of making a neder would be with a hatfasa. If you don't use hatfasa, then you have a yad. Either way, the point is a yad, as we learned in the previous parak, is a fully valid neder. So once he says, kikozu alai hayoim, so he says, this bread is on me, meaning that it's also to me, today, im eilech lamakim pointing lamacher, if I go to such and such a place tomorrow, so then, ochal harezeh b'val yevach. So the Braisa says, if he eats that bread, then he has an issur not to go. So now, on the face of it, we assume that it means that, he is allowed to eat the bread, but then if he does, he's not allowed to go tomorrow to that place, so as not to trigger the neder. But the Gemara says, no. Mi katani oichel, does it say oichel, which would mean he is allowed to eat it? Ochal katani, it means if he ate it. The ki ochal harezeh b'val yevach. That if he eats it, now he has the thing, he's not allowed to go in order not to trigger the neder. So in other words, the Ran has a long explanation over here that the point is the Braisa is not the Braisa is focusing we thought at first that the Braisa is focusing on what kind of things are also for him to do. The Braisa should tell us it's also for him to eat. And the answer is the Braisa is not really the Braisa is. It says Ochal, that itself implies that only the Dieved, if he ate it, then we should talk about. But Hatchila, he shouldn't be eating it in the first place. But the Gemara says, okay, what about the next part of the Braisa? It continues, Holach, if he ends up going the next day to that place, Hareza b'val yachol b'varay, then there is b'val yachol involved, because meanwhile, previously he ate the bread. So again, mahalach loy. So the Braisa is not saying, the Braisa is not saying that he is allowed to go. The kasha of Rabbi Yehuda. So the kasha is on the kasha is on Rabbi Yehuda. According to, in other words, that, so we're saying holach only if he went b'dieved. So it sounds like when it came to eating the bread, fine, let him eat the bread. Now, if he goes today, hareza b'val yachol, therefore we don't tell him you're allowed to go today. If he went today, then he's over on b'val yachol. But now, obviously, if he didn't eat the bread yesterday, there's no problem with him going, because there's no neder to be triggered. So the very fact that the Mishnah is saying the word holach, the Braisa rather, is saying the word holach, seems to imply that we're talking about he already ate the bread, and now we're saying that b'di'eved, if he goes and walks to that place, then he's over on b'al-yachol. Mahalach loy, we're saying we don't allow him to begin with, the kasha of Rav Yehuda. So the kasha is on Rav Yehuda, because all of that case would have to be where he already ate the bread. According to Rav Yehuda, he had no business eating the bread in the first place. The Braisa should be stressing that point. That he's not allowed to eat the bread.
Triggering
is going to be by going the next day. But now, right? I mean, without the eating, then the going wouldn't be the problem, right? The answer is Omalach Rav Yehuda. The answer is Rav Yehuda can answer you. Who are dinja listening mahalach? The answer is that no, the Braisa could have used the word mahalach that he is allowed to go. In other words, the Braisa could be implying that we wouldn't allow him to eat the bread yesterday because we're telling him potentially you could end up being over on Bar Yachol. Therefore, today there's no problem with him going to this place because there's no neder to be triggered because he never ate the bread anyway. So it could have said mahalach. I did the katoni reisha ochal dolemisni like oichol, but since in the beginning of the Mishnah it used the word ochal and it had to use the word ochal there, it can't use the word oichol that he's allowed to eat it because according to Rav Yehuda he's not allowed to eat it. Toni seifa holach, then therefore the seifa also uses the word holach b'dieved, even though in fact since he didn't eat it the previous day, then there's no problem with him going today. As usual, we want the language of the Reisha and the Sefer, the Reisha and the Sefer to match, right? So the Ran has some discussion of the details of all of this. If you're going to say that the holach is referring to the case that where he already ate the bread, then what's the chiddush? Of course, there's bal yachol involved, and the chiddush is he says you would think that since when he ate it he wasn't over, maybe even when he went, maybe now you wouldn't say bal yachol applies to mafreya, and the braisa needs to tell us that bal yachol can apply to mafreya. Without the braisa, we wouldn't have known of such a concept. And therefore we're saying that it applies. He also discusses the point. What are we talking about? Are we talking about that when he ate it, he remembered that there is walking involved is going to trigger that this is going to be usur, and vice versa. When he walks tomorrow, there's a remembrance that he ate it yesterday. Or are we talking about is the possibility of maybe that he forgot? If he forgot, then we have something we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about in the next paragraph. We're going to talk about nidrei oinsin, where a person forgot something. Where there, that's not necessarily something where a person is over on a neder. When we talk about being over on a neder, it means he knows that he did such and such, and that therefore this triggers this neder or whatever. Not necessarily when he forgot that he had ever done this in the first place. To finish up the Gemara, we said that if the husband says to his wife, that my tashmish with you, then bal yachol applies as well. So again, there's a besides the question that we said before, that tashmish is not a tangible object. Where therefore, in other words, he would have to use a loshen that implies, for example, my goof is also in tashmish to you. But we have a better question. Doesn't the husband have a shibud to his wife, midaraisa, to have relations with her? As we says in the pasuk, we learned about this in Ksuvos. The pasuk says she'er ksus of oina sala yigra. He's not allowed to diminish who she'er ksus and oina. And we had in Ksuvos two possibilities that she'er, we said oina, we said ksus means clothing, definitely. We said either she'er means food and oinasa means the regular oina of having relations, or the other way around, she'er meant the physical skin-to-skin contact that you have during Tashmish, and oinasa meant food. Anyway, the point is that those three things he's meshuvah to her. So how can his neder to say that his tashmish, that he's not going to have tashmish with her? How could such a neder have effect? Which in fact, the Ran points out, we did learn in Ksubas that a hekdish, which a koinam, a neder is a form of hekdish, actually overrides a shibud. But the answer is, the Ran says, we said over there, that there are cases where we say that the husband's shibud is strong enough to override even that. The same way, the wife's shibud, that her husband is meshubad to her, for sheruk sasvayna, overrides any koinam that he could make. So the answer is, ba'oimah hanas tashmishich alai. So the answer is, the neder, he says, is, the hana of your tashmish should be also to me. So the one asks, we said then, ba'yach advara applies. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? What hana? V'ha loy kan michalei v'tashmish. After all, he doesn't, and that's not a question, rather. V'ha loy kan michalei v'tashmish. So in this case, we're saying that he doesn't want, he's able to ask that hana on him, and therefore that becomes a valid neder. The Omer of Kahana, Tashmishi Alayich, because we have, Rav Kahana says, if the wife says to her husband, a koinam, that my Tashmish should be also to you, koifinoisa om shamashta, then we still compel her, and we tell her you're required to be available for your husband for Tashmish, and you can't ask that to her husband. You can't ask that to your husband. But if she says, but if the reason is because again she has a shibud to the husband, just as much as the husband has a shibud to the wife that he should have regular owner, she has a shibud to her husband for the same kind of thing.
What is she not allowed?
So 1 second, hanos tashmish halai. But if she says the hana of your tashmish should be also to me, that also that kind of nether is also and can be chal. The husband can be made for it because bodim shebeina lebeina. It's something that affects their marital relationship, but it is a valid nether. Otherwise, she'en machilum leila odim dover. Also, like we can't force feed a person something which is also to him. In other words, once she says, or in the case of our Mishnah, once the husband says the hana of the tashmish with you is also to me, then already we're saying that in effect they're not saying the tashmish itself is also, they're saying the hana of it is also, but you can't force a person to have a hana from something which is also to them. So the result is therefore no tashmish can take place because they are going to have hana. The Ran, by the way, refers to the fact that it's a mitzvah slav lahonis. But he says that means, in other words, for example, let's say a person takes a lulav, which otherwise would have been also to him. We said picking up the lulav is not considered a hana. I is accomplishing a mitzvah, that's not considered a hana. But there is, or can be, physical hana when you do a mitzvah. In this case, yes, there is a mitzvah to have tashmish, but the fact is there is physical hana involved, and he's asked that hana to himself. Obviously, again, he'd have to be using a proper expression, because again, hana is not a tangible object, but fine, he'd have to be saying the hana of the hana. You know, you'd have to be saying, for example, that the hana that I get from your body doing tashmish would be also to me or something to that effect, whatever. Anyway, the point is that such a thing is a valid neder. So that's what we're talking about in the Mishnah, is that when he says koinam she'eni mishamshah, he doesn't mean a koinam that I refuse to have tashmish with you. Then we'd say his shibud to her overrides that. But when he says the hana of tashmish with you is also to me, then we're saying such a neder can be foul. Because we can't force a person to have a hana, which is also to them. So in fact, the Ran points out, he says that we said on Amud Aleph, we said that the Nedarim of our Mishnah, according to Ravina, were actually only Dirabanan. But we're saying, so over here also, even if he doesn't use a proper expression that would constitute a real neder d'araisa, still it includes a neder d'rabbanon, but still, then we know the chachamim are able to take away a mitzvah of the Torah with shev val tasa. Here it's not an active thing where we're telling him to go violate something of the Torah. It's a passive thing where he made a neder and the chachamim are saying this is considered a valid neder even though it's d'araisa, it's not. So even though it ends up overriding the mitzvah of the Torah, period, nevertheless, it still can be found. even if he doesn't say a loshen, even if he says hanas tashmish halai, where hanah is not a tangible thing, and therefore it's only a neder de rabbanan. So in other words, if it was something with midrabanan, where it required us to violate something that I told you, we can't do that. But with shev bal tasa, we learned back in Yevamos some time back that the chachamim have the right to make such a, to make such takonas and zeros, and this would be an example of that. The chachamim would be saying that. The Chachamim would be telling us that even though this neder is not valid daraisa, because daraisa, a neder needs to be on a tangible object, midrabanan, as Ravina said on Amud Aleph, a neder can be chal, even if you didn't use the proper loshen of nedarim. You said, for example, koinim shani yoshin, or koinim shani mishamshet, and that works, though not necessarily to be exact. He didn't say koinim shani mishamshet. Again, he said the hana of it is also as a koinim. And then we say such a neder will, in fact, have to be chal midrabanan. I means that it's overriding a din min haTorah. That's the way some dinim d'rabbanan work. Okay, so that's that. As far as the previous discussion between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda, the Ran points out, since the Gemara has spent the whole sugya asking on Rav Yehuda and explaining the Mishnayos and the Braises according to him, that implies the halacha is like him. And indeed, the halacha is like him. So if you have a case involving a tanai like that, so for example, the person says that I'm also to sleep today. If I sleep tomorrow, then yes, we don't allow him to sleep today.
Oh.
If he did sleep today, then he has to be careful not to sleep tomorrow. But we try to prevent him from sleeping today in order that there should never be a neder in the first place to potentially be triggered tomorrow.
Now, is there punishment either way if you make these things to prevent it from happening?
So obviously,
Malchus, you always get
no. So Malchus is only going to be gotten. Malchus is going to be gotten only if it was an actual neder that he was over on. So that's the thing. What we're saying in the Gemara over here is if when he did the action, the neder was not in effect yet because the trigger happens only later, like in the case where Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda are arguing on, Malchus was saying there wouldn't be able to be because at the time when he did it, then the neder wasn't in effect yet. The truth is, there are actually Gemaras in other places in Shas that talk about the concept of Hasra Safek. Can we give a person Hasra for Malchus on something where we don't know yet whether the thing is going to be Isser? Also, it's going to depend on something that happens later on. I think the halacha is that you could, in which case, maybe indeed there would be Malchus in these cases. But at any rate, even if we say not, we're saying Rabbi Yehuda would say there's an Isser involved. Rabbi Nachman would say there's not even an Isser involved to sleep today. Because once you slept today, then you're going to be careful with your Tanai tomorrow. And Rabbi Yehuda says that now.
If his pitch